Win £50,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to From the Horse's Mouth, that we look ahead to the weekend racing. My name's Patrick Connelly, but more importantly, once again, I've got Rory DeLargy and Ruby Walsh too. Well, what the plan is we're going to go through all of the ITV action, Sandown and Aintree. We're going to look at Ferryhouse on Saturday, and we're going to have a sneak peek look at Ferryhouse on Sunday, albeit we are operating before declarations, but at least we will have a fair idea who's going to run, right? Right? Yeah? Okay, we've got Ruby Walsh here, so we should. Rory, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
Ask me in a day or so.
Okay, because of all of the bets you're going to have? Or
No.
Oh, okay. No,
I've got a very early appointment tomorrow, which I'm not massively looking forward to, let's say. Okay. So hopefully I will be able to enjoy the racing on Saturday.
Oh, well, we're all, fingers crossed. Absolutely.
I may have to do a lying down.
Well, I mean, I do that anyway on Saturday, so that's just the same. Ruby Walsh, how are you?
Hey, PK.
Great, PK. Okay, well, that's short, sharp. The man knows how to do it. Lads, we've got a very busy weekend, so I'm not going to chat any further. Let's go straight into the action, the 145 Sandown. I will mention, before I actually get cracking, Paddy's Pick 5 is back. It wasn't won last week for the first time in a while, so 50 grand will be up for grabs. Every one of the Paddy Pick 5 races will be live on ITV and in the space of an hour and 15 minutes. So it's a lovely little compact Paddy's Pick 5. They're all on ITV. The first race is the 2:05 at Aintree, and it rattles through until the 3:15 at Aintree, and it takes in both Aintree and Sandown races. We'll talk about those as we rattle on. Let's start with the Henry VIII Novice Chase over the just shy of 2 mile trip. It sees John Bond as the red off favorite at 2-7. Boot Hill 100-30 after his win last week. Good bit of placing by Harry Fry here, sticking him in. Unexpected Party is 11-1 ex-Irish and 66-1 Honor de Jonc. We may not spend a huge amount of time in this, Ruby Walsh, because John Bond is just going to win, yes?
I would hate to be opposing them anyway. And Boot Hill looks the only conceivable danger. Unexpected Party ran fine behind McFabulous at Exeter and McFabulous boosted the form at Newbury. But Boot Hill, good one in a handicap, but this is a different level. And I do think John Bond will do the business.
Yeah, he should. He should. Rory, is there any betting angle to this? 4 runners, 2-7 shot?
No, I don't think so. Even the... maybe I learned my lesson a little bit with the obvious forecast from last week when the tactics go out the window at the start. But a novice chase is trying to boost your returns, trying to play the forecast as a dangerous business. Boot Hill will at least ensure that John Bond has to run to a really high level here because it was a good handicap he won off a mark of 140 at Ascot. And he's clearly, a high 140s horse. You'd expect to be sort of high 150s if you're going to go and win a very good Arkle. So he'll be tested here by Boot Hill, but I think we expect John Bond is going to find that little bit more improvement. But hopefully it'll be a reasonable race, rather than a cakewalk. I think Boot Hill can put it up to John Bond to some degree. But John Bond looked very, very good at Warwick. His jumping is clearly not a massive issue. He wasn't absolutely foot perfect. You'd think he was listening to the reports of that race, but he was very clever when he wasn't right. He met one fence wrong, and he never looked like it was going to be a massive issue for him. Otherwise, he was very, very good. And he should be too good here, but hopefully we see Boot Hill runs with the very best of his form, which will give us an idea of how good John Bond really is.
Where do you think par is as far as a winning distance is concerned? Because I know we've got the old length and your odds priced up on site. So just where do you think par is before I reveal the prices? It's a puzzle.
But I'd 4.5 lengths.
You're close. 5.5 lengths is probably par because it's just a shade of odds on 5 and just a shade of odds against 6. So
Well, it tends to be. In fairness, it's one of those markets that if you're a bookmaker, you quite enjoy laying the length in your odds prices. No one likes to back a horse to win by an unimpressive margin.
But
it happens much more often than not. And punters tend to be slightly over-optimistic about that kind of thing. Worth bearing in mind that, if you're betting in those markets, the value often lies in the slightly dull outcome.
Yeah, well, World Cup, back the unders in the first half, I think is fair to say. And it's probably clicked in nearly every match so far. Nil all halftime in all the games. Ruby, to go back to his brother, Duvan, significantly better chaser than Hurdler for you, Duvan, was he?
I wouldn't think so, is he?
No. That's what I'm asking. Because John Bond,
he only ran in four. Hurdler versus Duvan, maybe five, four. Goran Park, four. He ran as a novice. He went chasing then. A great novice chase career, and he wasn't tested as a chaser or as a hurdler. I mean,
yeah. What do you want, a champion hurdle? I know you love these hyperbolic questions.
Can't remember who won the champion hurdle year. He ran the Arkle. I don't know.
Faheen.
I don't think it was Faheen. Was it Faheen one that year?
I think it might have been Faheen because they won the two novices in the year four.
Didn't. No, they didn't. No? Tour won the same year as
Faheen. Tour.
I'd say, did Duvan win the champion hurdle? He wouldn't have won the Supreme the year Faheen won the champion hurdle. He might have won the Arkle the year Andy Power won the champion hurdle.
Could have given her a race, all right. They could have given her a race. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to the Betfair Daily Rewards Handicap Hurdle. This would be Paddy's Pick 5 race number 2. And a really interesting bit of placing here for Harry Fry, who sends his grade one winner Love Envoy into a handicap, and taking on the boys is the 13-8 favorite as we record, 9-2 En Public for Oliver Greenwell and Josh Guerriero, 5-1 Playful Saint for Dan Skelton, who will train a winner every Saturday, it seems now. Hermes Boy is 7-1 and 8-1 Friend or Foe, so double figure odds the rest. I love the class angle in these handicaps, Rory, albeit there are two horses higher rated, carrying more weight, should say. What are your thoughts on this one?
I find this a difficult race to be adamant about. It'll be a good race to watch, but I struggled to get a handle on one or two of these. It's difficult to know what to make of Marta Tor, for example, on debut for Venetia Williams. Normally, it's Venetia's chase debutante you want to be with rather than the hurdlers per se. But she did have an ex-French performer absolutely bolt up at Exeter on debut for the Yard the other day. So Marta Tor could be interesting here, but hard to weigh up. I don't know to what degree Love Envoy is going to progress this season. I'm a fan of En Public, but I suspect he's getting to the top of his rating at the moment as well, on a mark of 1.32. And I find it a very hard race to get involved. I might end up having... I could see Hermes Boy running pretty well, going back right-handed again. And he might tempt me each way if he's a big price, but... I thought this was one of the toughest races of the weekend to have a solid view about.
That's great that it's Paddy's Pick 5 race number 2. Yeah. Then. Ruby, any stronger thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I was kind of worried about the ground for Love Envoy. I thought our best hurdles form was on slower ground, to tell you the truth. Soft at Cheltenham, heavy at Sandown, heavy at Lingfield, heavy at Warwick. I was a little bit worried about her. She won a good to soft on Leicester, but that was a much weaker contest. And I was actually going to take a chance on Venetia's Marta Tor. I thought his French form, albeit over a year ago, was quite strong behind Hermes Bay. Some of those were Group 1 hurdle races. He was, Hermes Bay won the Prix Alain de Brie. He's a Grade 1 hurdler. So I thought Marta Tor, wind operation, been given plenty of a time to acclimatise with Venetia. I thought he could be a dark one.
Marta Tor. And as we all know, Venetia Williams horses in December really are the ones to watch out for. Everything is just a year behind, right? This year.
Yeah, the other thing to mention there, it probably works better with the chasers from the Yard, but Venetia's got a remarkably good record with horses having their first run after wind surgery, particularly those coming off a long break. She won the Coral Gold Cup, as it wasn't last year, with the 33-1 poke having his first run after wind surgery. And of the first seven horses she ran in November and December through to January last year with a similar profile, long break, wind surgery, five of those seven won, and two of those were Grade 3 handicap chases. So that's worth bearing in mind. As I said, they were all over fences, but you'd have thought... You know, there's no reason why that shouldn't apply to our hurdlers as well. So it's an interesting stat.
That is. And obviously I was being coy. It is used to be Venetia Williams in November, but now because the ground's so quick, maybe we push that back to December. Right, if you want to get jiggy about a horse race this weekend, the Tingle Creek, as we record on Thursday, looks an absolute belter. Shishkin, Even Money, Grenadine, who was well back during the week, indeed went favourite in our anti-post market under the assumption, I think a lot of people were like, no way Shishkin's going to run. Well, Grenadine's 15-8 now, 11-2 Edward Stone for Alan King. Gentleman to me, Willie Mullins, sending this one over. 9-1, that just shows you the strength of the race. And then Funambul de Civil at 22s and 100-1 for Dunvegan for Pat Fahey. Ruby, this has the makings of an absolute belter. What wins it?
If he runs, Shishkin will win. And if he doesn't win, Grenadine will win.
Why wouldn't Shishkin run?
Ground.
Nicky seems pretty confident that he said he'll definitely run. Well,
it's Thursday.
Yeah, I know, it's Thursday. So Shishkin wins. What was it? A bone? So abnormality in the bones? I don't know what was the reason for the poor run.
Every horse can have an off day. And the comments from the yard last week were very positive about Shishkin. So they're obviously very happy with him. And I think if he runs, he'll win. And if he doesn't, I think John Bonham.
Grenadine. John Bonham will definitely win too.
Yeah, he'll win the race before. Grenadine.
A word on Gentleman to Me. A bit disappointing his reappearance.
He was and has to get up to this level. I know he beat Edward Stone in Aintree, but Edward Stone was coming off the back of a long season and was probably vulnerable at Aintree. It'd be a career best from Gentleman to Me.
Okay, right. So Shishkin, Rory?
Yeah, I agree with that. Your reason to oppose Shishkin is, you know, if you're worried about what happened to Cheltenham, I think there might be a carryover from that. But as Ruby says, I think if they hadn't got him back, I think you'd be hearing worrying noises coming from the yard, and everything you've heard has been fairly positive. I don't like to take too much of a steer, but with a horse like this, you just want to know that Nicky's happy with him, and that sounds right. His form is head and shoulders above these at his very best. You know, even after he disappointed at Cheltenham, the form of the Champion Chase merely showed how good his victory at Ascot in the Clarence House Chase was. That was probably the best form seen over fences all season, including in the Champion Chase. And it's just unfortunate what happened to him in March. But he should bounce back from that if he runs. As Ruby said, you can never take it for granted. Good to Soft, Soft in Places is too soft on the chase course at Sandown. And Good to Soft, Good in Places might be too quick. So let's just hope it's Good to Soft all over and everyone's happy.
Yeah. Oh, come on now. I'm not having another one of these non-runner Saturdays, lads.
And in fairness, I don't want that to appear to be a bit of a pylon on Nicky, but it is clearly, you know, it's clearly it can get. Sandown is one of those tracks where it's never perfect for long. If it stays dry, it can get a little bit too quick, and if it rains, it gets deep very quickly on the chase course. Actually, I should say on the hurdles course rather than the chase course. I know that I think the issue with the controversial withdrawal in this race last year was the fact that Nico de Boinville rode on the hurdles course, which was absolutely hideous, and they didn't really want to take a chance after that. But the chase course rides a lot better. So hopefully everything is okay. And, you know, it's easy to sort of make jokes about this, but we really are hoping that we get the lineup that we see there, because it should be a really good race, and it should show off Shishkin to the best of his ability. And if he beats these by a big margin, then that will just underline what a great horse he is.
PK, your better half has horses, don't you?
She does. Well, one at the moment.
So, like, you must see yourself. I'm assuming that horse goes out during the day.
The horse does.
It does. Like, even you must see yourself that the gateways in and out of fields that are getting mucky. How quick they are drying and going back to dry. I mean, it's incredible. Like, you should need boots at this time of the year to go into a field where there's horses. I let our ponies out this morning with my daughter with my runners on. It's just remarkable.
So it is.
You can jump up and down and shout and roar and blame Nicky and say this, that and the other. The reality is that is the climate we're in.
It's nuts that they had a fixture abandoned how many weeks ago for waterlogging, and we're already straight back to good ground, and Andrew Cooper saying he just can't get enough water onto the course.
Why did it fall? Yeah. But that's part of the point. I mean, it's understanding ground. It was waterlogged because it just all sat on top of it. It couldn't get down into it because it was too hard.
Yeah. It's kind of what you see in Australia, where they have like a rain share and it just sits there. The water table's gone up so high. Anyway, look, fingers crossed, they all run. Shishkin wins if they all run. Grenadine wins if Shishkin doesn't. There you go. Simple as that. Brilliant Tingle Creek. Really looking forward to it. And that is Paddy's Pick race number four as well. The 3:30 is the last race we're going to look at Sandown. It's the London National, 3 miles, 5 furlongs. Revels Hill, and what could be a big day for Harry Fry and these owners. The 7-4, I think it's an Old Feely ownership group, is the 7-4 favourite. Wow, 7-4 in a race of this nature. 7-2, Deja Abba. Quick Wave is 4-1 for Venetia Williams. Eclair de Guy for Lucy Wadham, 6-1. 14th bar. So it looks like it's between four, Ruby. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I thought the favourite was a bit skimpy, so I was kind of going to overlook him. I was skipping by Deja Abba until I started thinking about Philip Hobbs's horse Zanza winning the other day at Newbury and how that bolted in after skipping over him. Quick Wave, I just wasn't so sure about. Ludlow Farm, Legends Gold, that was okay, but up 7, not sure. I kind of ended up taking a poke on one because it was wearing headgear for the first time, and that was in Rem. Didn't jump great at Uttoxeter on the 12th of November behind T for Free. Was off the bridle the long way out, clouded a couple of fences. If the cheap pieces work on James Williams' horse and he can jump better and keep himself some way in the contest, I just think he's fit and he'll keep going. It's a poke, PK. It's not a confident pick.
In Rem, each way, 14-1 as we record. Rory?
Yeah, this is not an easy one. Deja Abba's got the course form. He's a very hard horse to predict, but generally speaking, you bring him to Sandown, he runs very well. But he's still pretty high in the weights. He's been beaten his last couple of starts here, runner-up, in fairness, including in this race off 140 and 142. He's still in 142. So given that he's a little bit older, he's vulnerable. He will run his race again. I think he'd probably hit the frame. Quick Wave was one of those horses of Venetia's who won off a wind up and a long break last year, but we haven't seen him since that one, run last year, and that's a bit of a concern. And as Ruby says, it's solid Ludlow form. The form has worked out pretty well. If you look at the horses, sort of fourth and fifth and sixth have shown their form since. But, you know, Ludlow form is Ludlow form, and Sandown is a different kettle of fish. I wouldn't be at all surprised if she was good enough to win this Quick Wave, but it's difficult to be confident up £7, having only been able to take that one run last season. Revels Hill is solid, but short. And I ended up going with Eclair de Guy, who I think will run a decent race. He looked like he was going to win this race last year. He finished third in the end, but between the last two fences, he looked like he had the race wrapped up. Then was slow at the last and was overtaken and beaten 7 lengths in the end. And he has finished weakly before. He's had wind surgery, but he does go well fresh. He was coming off an absence when he was third in this last year. His previous run had been in March, and his last three runs after a longish break, he's run very well. So I think he will run very well here off a low weight. 10 stone 4 is a very inviting weight. As I said, he was placed off 125. Last season. He's £7 lower now, and I think all the ability remains there. It's just a case of getting him right. He's clearly not an easy horse to catch right, and he's got a few pulled ups on his card. But Lucy Wadham has got her horses back in reasonable form now. She struggled for a while, but if you're backing her horses blind this season, you're making money, and she does do well at Sandown. So I think Eclair de Guy will go well for a long way. I would want to be trading out of my position on the run-in if I could, but I think he will run a decent race, and the 10 stone 4 is very tempting for me in a race like this. Harry Cobden taking over because Bryony Frost isn't available, but it's hardly a bad jockey swap, is it?
No, you'd be happy enough. Did she, Lucy, won? I have it in my head she won an Imperial Cup or maybe two. Maybe you remember you mentioned Sandown there. I was like, oh, there's something there with Sandown and her. It could have been. Anyway.
She's had a few televised winners at Sandown. I'm not sure there's
their Imperial Cup in there.
Anyway, got Phoenix, who went very close in the Imperial Cup, but I don't think he won, did he?
Doesn't spring a memory of winning that race. It was a great race. We sponsored it anyway. Right, that is Sandown covered. So Eclair de Guy for Rory, whilst in REM we trust, says Ruby Walsh. I don't know if it's named after the band or the Rapid Eye Movement. Let's go to Aintree. Actually, lads, before we go to Aintree, Ruby, remember we did the National Season Preview earlier on and Frank Hickey put one up for us? Remember he put up a horse for the Welsh Grand National Trial?
Yes.
Which is Saturday. It's a horse called Pat's Fancy. he's not declared to run in that race, but he runs in the handicap hurdle on the same bloody card. So watch out for Pat's Fancy protecting the handicap mark in the very first race at Chepstow. Frank Kickey put you on that one a long, long time ago. No idea what kind of price it'll be, but it was an interesting shout nonetheless. Aintree, we've got the Beecher Chase Day. We're going to kick off with the Many Clouds Chase. This is the Grade 2 over the 3 miles and a furlong. And a bit of a puzzle here. Ahoy Senor is the even money favourite after a really disappointing run on seasonal debut. Chantry House, though, wins or pulls up, is 11-2. Sounds Russian is 11-2. Noble Yates, Grand National winner, 6-1. 8-1, Sam Brown. And 14s, our old buddy, old pal, Dashiell Derasher, who is never a sure price, is in there at 14-1. Okay, Rory, off you go. Tip up Dashiell Derasher, please.
Well, this is 3 miles and a furlong, and that would be the question for Dashiell Derasher, even though I was willing to give him a chance in a Grade 2 hurdle over 2 miles, 7 and a bit the other day. I'd be concerned about him in a really well-run race. The first time that he's going to have company up front, because the Ahoy Senor is going to go off reasonably hard as well. So Dashiell Derasher won't get an easy time in front, back over fences, and that's a bit off-putting. It's slightly, you could argue it's a wee bit off-putting with the Ahoy Senor as well, but listen, his record at Aintree is two really impressive Grade 1 wins from two starts, and I really hope he can get a season back on track here. I think that's probably more, that's certainly hard overhead in that, you know, he is such a talented horse that I want to see him straight back on track, and if he disappoints here, then, you know, that would be disappointing for the season. I hope he can get back on track. I think he is the best horse in the race, but it's not, even money isn't massively tempting. I think he'll drift from that. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to back him, I'm waiting. I think people will be keen to take him on, given the way he checked out last time. You know, he was beaten a long way for a horse he traded odds on early in that race. He was beaten 40 lengths at Wetherby, and he showed that his problem remains not knowing what to do when he meets a fence wrong. And if he's going to be taken on for the lead, then that raises the issue again. But as I said, I really think a lot of this horse, when he gets everything together, and I think he will get everything together in time, maybe he's just a horse for the spring. You know, he has been clearly for the last couple of seasons, and that might just be the key to him. But I'm hoping Aintree is more the key, and he can win this race on his way to better things. But I wouldn't be backing him at evens, I have to say. I might get tempted into backing him if he drifts to 7-4 or something like that. But he's a pick rather than a bet for me.
Nicely summed up. Ruby, Twitter was your favourite social media. Twitter was awash with people saying, send that fella back over hurdles. That Ahoy Senor can't jump a fence after his seasonal debut. Will he go back to that novice chasing form?
He could, but I think there's a really interesting one in here. I think it's the Grand National winner, Noble Yates. I thought he was very good at Wexford. He's a horse that's been campaigned differently, shall we say. Beat Gabignaco, first him up last year in Galway, then dropped back in trip, 2.5 miles, 2 miles. He's had the Paddy Power with a hood on him for some reason last Christmas. Pulled up an ace. He can do that because he pulled up in France on his first run this season as well. Was the second to Ahoy Senor at Wetherby, only beaten 5.5 lengths in February of last year, which was a run that would have qualified him, I think, for the National Hunt Chase, but they decided to run him in the Ultima instead. And he was getting £5 on that occasion from Ahoy Senor, but he was dropped out the back, behind the leaders, dropped to last, not fluent, nudged along. It definitely kind of an indifferent run. But won the Grand National, won in Wexford. Oh, I'm not a chance, Noble Yates.
Yeah, I like it. I like the angle. Is it safe to say that he goes on to win here? It's going to be too hard to win another National off the whatever weight he gets. Or is the National a different race now?
I think at 160, you know, he's what? £15 off a Gold Cup horse. He's only a 7-year-old. He's going the right direction. I don't know. I think there's a small chance this horse could be improving and he could possibly be a Gold Cup horse.
Yeah. So why not find out?
I just think at even money, Ahoy Senor, don't think there's that much between them and that Wetherby run. Well, I'm going to chance him.
Lovely. I like it. Okay. So very lukewarm Rory on Ahoy Senor, but maybe got a sneaky feeling for Noble Yates. Let's move on to the feature. It's the feature chase, 3.25 miles over the national fences. Ashtown Lad for the Skeltons is the 4-1 joint favourite with Jess Kill or Guess Kill for the Ollie Greenall, Josh Guerriero partnership. You got 9-1 then, one of two for William Mullins, or two I counted anyway. Captain Kangaroo, brilliant winner down in Cork. That was under Kieran Callaghan. Jack Foley takes over. And you've also got Ruby Recite a Prayer, who Brian Hayes will ride in the Turner Silk. So talk to us about those two first.
Yeah, look, they have chances. They both ran in the Cork National. Yeah, it was Captain Kangaroo's first win. I think Recite a Prayer has done really well to get as far as he's gotten. They have chances. Did I think Captain Kangaroo would win the Cork National? No. If you told me 2 months ago he'd win a Beecher Chase, I'd have taken your temperature. But maybe he will. And if you fancy him, not let me put you off, but I'm not fancying him. And the same goes for Recite a Prayer. I actually think the Wolf is the interesting one. I think the run behind Laura Carr at Cheltenham is a pretty decent run, and that should have left him spot on for this.
Fair enough. The Wolf for Ollie Murphy and Adrian Heskin. Rory?
I would not... normally, I'm very much in agreement with Ruby, but my problem with the Wolf is he's absolutely guaranteed to walk through a fence. And if he gets away with that here, he's certainly handicapped to win. He made his bad mistake early at Cheltenham and then very much caught the eye with how he finished from a bad position. But I've seen too much of the Wolf, and he just has this really frustrating habit of making a bad mistake just when he doesn't need one. And I'm not sure that there are some horses who actually just buck up their ideas for seeing the national fences. A few horses you'd have down as dodgy jumpers who jump these fences really well. Maybe he'll be one of those. I've been burnt by the Wolf before. I'm not keen to do so again. So I thought Hill 16.
You can walk through these fences anyway.
Well, I know people say that, but not really. Not really.
You can't walk through any fence. So.
Jesse Harrington's mare, in fairness, did land on the top of two of them and very nearly won a Grand National, so it's slightly easier, but it does tend to put most horses off when they make a mistake here, even if they're softer than they used to be. Hill 16 is a horse who doesn't always jump brilliantly at park courses, but does jump these fences well, and I think he will run well. The question with him is whether the rise since last year puts him out of this. 1.45 is fair enough. Listen, he ran well. He was third to Sounds Russian at Kelso on his reappearance, which would have been to put him right for this. So I think he will run very well. I think we'd all love to see Snow Leopardess run a big race, but I think it's asking a lot of her now. She had a pretty hard time when winning this race last year on heavy ground, and she's disappointed on both starts since winning that listed race in the mud at Exeter. So hard to see her bouncing back to her best, but if she does, she'll get a great reception. It'll be great for the... great for the game, but you don't punt on those for those reasons.
But you feel great when your horse is chained by one of those, don't you?
Well, you have to grin and bear it, I'm afraid, you know.
Oh, it's great. But delighted for the game to love.
The other horse I think will run well here, and he would probably love it if it was even further, Dr. Kananga. I think that the one thing about this race, having got 23 runners, is it's not going to be that easy to come from off the pace. There'll be a bit of trouble in running. And Aintree has always, the national course of Aintree has always been a place where you want to be reasonably handy. I'm not going to suggest it's a front runner's track as such, but it's never easy to come from off the pace. And I thought Dr. Kananga is the likeliest leader of this lot, and a very sound jumper as well. And if he can get to the front and get himself in an early rhythm, I think he will run really well. He comes from the Ben Clark stable. Ben Jones tends to ride all the horses. This is a decent operator, Ben Clark. Doesn't have too many horses. His strike rate is very good, though. Strike rate this season, 21%. His strike rate over fences in the last five seasons is 1-3. 9 winners and 27 runners. Most of them are proper stairs. Most of them ex-point-to-point horses. And Dr. Kananga is a joy to watch over fences. He's not very fast, but he all he does is gallop and jump. You know, it's the old adage about staying chasers. So as long as there isn't a wild charge for the first fence that sees him unable to lead, I think he'll get himself to the front and he will jump well. And that's a great place to be at Aintree. So I think he's the one I'd most want to back in the race. I should mention Jessica because I put him up for the Grand Sefton last time. My concern about him here is because he's stepping up to a trip he's not tried before. He did win over near 3 miles at Ludlow in 100 chase, but I'm not sure that counts for an awful lot in the context of this race. I think he'll be held up to get the trip. And in a big field around here, I think that'll be quite difficult to pull off. And if Henry Brooke manages it, then he deserves all the credit that's coming his way. But I think that'll be a tough ask for Jess Kill. And it just puts me off backing him for that reason.
Fair enough. Okay, Dr. Kananga, we got there. Yeah, Ben Clark, trainer of the Galloping Bear, isn't he? Yeah. So
yes, I mean, obviously, there was a bit of controversy over that the other day, but...
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, anyway, that's done, and hopefully Alan Bear will be back soon enough, and I know Frank Hickey's made a few quid off that one as well. We move on to Handicap Chase over 2.5 miles at Aintree, due off at 2:40. It's Paddy's Pick 5 race number 3. By the way, the Beecher was Paddy's Pick 5 race number 1. Nice, easy start for you folks. This race, the 2:40, head of the mark by Riders on the Storm, Richard Hobson, who came back to form, winning last night, 5-2, 6-1 Knight in Dubai, Gunsight Ridge, 13-2, Brave Shashka is 7s, 8-1 Kiltili Briggs, and also Cooper's Cross. All right, Ruby, give us the winner of the 2:40.
I can't believe Riders in the Storm is only 2 pounds higher. Now, I know he has way more weight because it's a lesser race. He had 10-6 in the all-round, but he's 2 pounds higher for beating Hitman, who's won twice since, Galaw, who's won the Paddy Power, and obviously Beakstown was behind that. But the form is rock solid. And a 2 pound penalty... Can you explain it, Rory, please?
No, I don't get that at all. It hadn't really hit me until I saw the decks for this. He was out of the weights there, but that's irrelevant, really. So he's essentially gone up 5 pounds, but you know, because he ran off the 3 pound higher mark, that's completely irrelevant. And of course, the form, as you said, the form's been tested and it's worked out tremendously well. So sometimes, you know, the obvious thing is hitting you in the face. And I think in the past, the handicap was probably more likely to go back and revise a horse's mark. And I think that's discouraged now more than it was. I think it's very easy to go back and go, maybe I didn't rate that race as highly as I should have, because it was quite a congested finish, but it clearly looks very good now.
And he's my pick. 2 pounds higher. Well, I think that run wins this.
Smell a nap. Rory, that's yours as well?
Yeah, I've got absolutely no doubt that a repetition of that run wins this. Obviously, if you know Riders in the Storm's history, you know that he hasn't always held his form very well and he's been a little bit fragile. So there is a possibility that he doesn't come on as well as he might. But I think they've planned his campaign very well. Richard Hobson has probably deliberately had this race in mind from giving him 6 weeks off after his old Roan win. And if he can just keep him right, then he's going to be very, very hard to beat off a mark of 1-4-1. It looks lenient.
Lovely. We'll be singing the old Riders on the Storm on Saturday afternoon. That was the 2:40, 3:15, Paddy's Pick 5, race number 5. Final race, Walking on Air, who was going to make the market last week, one of the many non-runners. 5-2 favourite this time for Nicky Henderson, James Bowen. 3-1 Langer Dan for Dan Harry Skelton. Harper Lake is 11-2. The money horse has been Herbier for the Green Old Josh Guerriero partnership, getting plenty of mentions. Sizing Potsy over in the UK now, 8-1, and it is double figure odds the rest. All right, Ruby, I think you were with Walking on Air last week.
I'm all over him again. Walking on Air. Yep.
Easy simple peasy. Do you think this horse could be better than a handicapper? Or is it just
I think if Riders on the Storm is well treated at 1:41, I think this fella's chucked in at 1:32.
That'll do. Rory?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. I was with the horse last week and I see no reason at all to desert him this time around. We made the arguments then. It's a very similar race on paper. It's a reasonably similar track as well. So, I'm not changing my mind. James Bowen wasn't due to ride him last week, was he? That's the only change. But James Bowen would not put me off any horse in the world.
No. Okay, lads, love it. Right, that is the Saturday racing on ITV covered. Myself and Ruby are going to spin, as Rory makes himself a nice cup of tea, through the Willie Mullins representatives on Saturday at Ferry, as of which there are some really interesting ones, Ruby. Basal Vega is going to be the horse we're going to watch out for. But I Am Maximus, an ex-Dickie Henderson horse who ran in all the top novices, makes his chase debut for Willie Mullins. So have you seen him yet in the yard? How's he gone?
Yeah, no, he's a nice looking horse. He goes well. Fourth in the Ballymore behind Sir Gerhard. Well, finished fourth if there was a fourth.
20-odd lengths fourth, yeah.
Yeah, second to Hillcrest is probably reads a little bit better at Cheltenham in January. But yeah, he does go well. We like him. Hopefully he'll give a really good account of himself. Look, Manila Crooner wears cheap pieces for the first time. I was a bit disappointed with him behind Darren's Hope, and he had a hard race only a fortnight ago. So I would be definitely for I Am Maximus.
Yeah, it looks a really interesting runner for Willie on debut. Whiskey Lullaby for Jody Townend in the Ladies Handicap Chase, 12.07.
Yeah, look, only a rating of 106. She's not exactly one of the more... she's not one of the leading lights within the yard, shall we say. Paul gave her a great ride to win at Punchestown in January when she beat Difficult Decision, but she's fit and she's well, but it's a competitive handicap.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, we'll take a pass on her. The feature race at Ferris on Saturday is the Easy Fix Handicap Chase. It's a grade B. It's a good pot. Fanda Blues and Mount Leinster are the two for Willie Mullins. Is there anything to be read into jockey bookings or because Simon
Paul had the choice. Okay. He's gone for Fanda Blue, who's up 8 more for beating Turbo at Cork. Is he the handicapper getting to Fanda Blue? I think he could be. Mount Leinster, second to Magic Days at Punchestown, that was off 142, is up 4 for that as well. Did win here when he beat Bold Emperor, but that was off £10 less. So yeah, I think the handicapper could have the two of ours. I thought Magic Days could be the interesting one, but she went to Punchestown and won, is up, there was, yeah, won, beat Mount Leinster, it's up 8. Just when you look down through them, the opposition, nothing is jumping out of me that it's chucked in. Maybe Cade Boy, second Impervious at Wexford, with 10-12 could be the one under 11 stone. I do think the handicapper has bought the willies, but trying to pick one the handicapper doesn't have a hold of, maybe it's Cade Boy.
Hey boy, okay, very much token. There's two divisions of the maiden hurdle, one slightly more interesting than the other, but let's talk about Viva DeVito in the Jones colours, who Paul will ride. That's in the 1.17.
Yeah, poor run behind Crown's Major on his first run. Then his first run, I think, for Willie was at Tremore when he beat Bugs Moran. Man, mid-division at Cheltenham, came back to Punchestown and was fourth behind Facile Vega. But like just in front of him at Punchestown was American Mike. Behind him was Mad Gans Game, Seabank Bistro and Sandor Clegan. So, you know, there's big names behind him. Yeah, he is a decent horse. He's in really good form. But you'd have to give respect to Kansas City Star, who was second Astro Diamond at Nace and should have come on for that run. Brian Drew's colours for Gordon Elliott had won a point-to-point at Loch Ray on his only start for Colin Bow. So, yeah, look, Kansas City Chief definitely would have to be, Kansas City Star even, you'd have to respect, but Viva DeVito, he's going well at home.
Okay, interesting runner. He's in the first division. The second division is the first sight of Facile Vega jumping hurdles in public. So one assumes everything's gone hunky-dory at home.
Just has to get around.
Lovely, just has to get around. We like that. And there's a one interesting one in the bumper. Nick Rock.
One interesting one in the handicap hurdle first.
Oh, three, how did I miss that one?
It's not Willie's.
Okay.
It's the bottom weight. Thought he was slightly unlucky at Cheltenham, but I think he should collect, and that's Explosive Boy.
The only reason I was oohing in the background there is we just recorded our Fridays with Fran, and he said the best bet on Saturday at Ferry House. Explosive Boy in the 302. So Ruby Walsh and
Fran. I wasn't talking to Franberry.
No, no, that's fine. Ruby Walsh and Franberry very much on the same track there with Explosive Boy in the 302. Tell us about Nick Rocket, the bumper horse in the last, in colours that I didn't recognise, but Roger Largy, fresh off making his tea. He actually did make a cup of tea by the looks of things. Tell us about this Nick Rocket.
Won a point for Pat Doyle. Goes well at home by walking the park. Lot to like about him. Obviously, Gordon has one for Rob Corr and Shannon Royal at Walk in the Park as well. A few big yards represented, but, you know, Willie had a couple he could have run here, and he's going with Nick Rocket.
A very interesting one. Rory, unmute yourself there, fresh off your cup of tea. Those colours, did you recognise them, the Nick Rocket ones? I didn't.
Yeah, they're the colours of a guy called Stuart Andrew, who, interestingly enough, has a runner in the previous race we discussed at Entry under his company name. Sort of plastics manufacturing company. Okay. But he, his most famous horse, you may remember, a horse called Everblessed, winning what was then the Hennessy Gold Cup.
Never heard of
it. Now, of course, something altogether different.
Never heard of the race. Okay, lads, best bet on Saturday, and then we'll skip ahead and take a quick break, and we'll skip ahead to Sunday's card, if there is. So, Ruby Walsh, your best bet on Saturday, please.
Walking on air.
Very quick with that one. Rory?
Nice. Spoiled that for me slightly, hasn't he? I think I will go then in the 205.
Yes.
Which is the Beecher Chase, and go with Dr. Kananga.
Okay. I'm not mildly surprised with that. I thought maybe Riders in the Storm might appear.
Riders in the Storm, yeah. Riders in the Storm is going to be a short enough price now, isn't it?
Five to two.
And rightly so.
Five to two, yeah,
that's fair. But when this podcast comes out, it will be 5-2, will it?
Are you going to make one of your 7-1 and 6-4?
No.
Lads, that's brilliant. Right, I'm just going to spin through the Paddy's Pick 5 races very quickly. Get your selection on all races. First race, race number one, is the 205 at Aintree. So I'm going to give that one to you, Rory De Laga. Who do you fancy in that?
I fancy Dr. Kananga.
You do. You've only gone and napped it. Race number two on Paddy's Pick 5 is the 220 at Sandown. Rory wasn't keen on anything in that race. So, Ruby, what was your pick in the 220 Sandown?
220 Martator.
Exactly, for Venetia Williams. Pick 5, race number three is the Handicap Chase at 240 at Aintree. You both fancy the same horse, but I'll give it to you, Rory.
I'll probably say Five Star Getaway by getting himself confused over which horse is which, but no, it's Riders on the Storm, isn't it?
Riders on the Storm, indeed. You both fancied it. Race number three. So race number four is the Tingle Creek. Ruby Walsh, what wins the Tingle Creek?
If he lines up Shishkin, and if he's an on-runner on the day, Grenadine.
Put Shishkin in then. That's simple as that. And then finally, race number five.
If you put in Shishkin and he's an on-runner, do you get pushed onto the favour?
My assumption... is yes, but I'm loath to say. I don't know is the honest answer. I don't know is the honest answer, but you know, usually that's what happens in these things. I'm sure producer Mark is busy checking to see what that is. The last of Paddy's Pick 5 races.
He's been that busy, sorry, no. He's been that busy doing the World Cup. He's definitely dialed out and is panned out of sleep somewhere.
Don't know it. Race number 5 of Paddy's Pick 5, 315 at Aintree. You both went for the same horse. Rory, it was?
Walking on air. Look at that. Straight away.
Well done. Well
no hesitation.
Done. That's Paddy's Pick 5. It's free to play. It's 50 grand in the pot this Saturday.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, so what a Sunday of racing we've got at Ferry House. Myself and Ruby and Rory, going to look ahead to these races under the proviso, of course, we don't have declarations, but we're going to have a look at the races nonetheless. The first of the graded races is the Juvenile Hurdle, the 12:25. 13 horses entered. Now, Ruby, have you got the name right for the number? Well, don't know if it's going to run. Horse called Lossy Mouth, who you thought was called something else.
Flossy Mouth, was it?
Yeah, you thought it was called Flossy Mouth. Yes. There's a bit of talk about this Lossy Mouth.
Yeah, look, she's in good form. She's working well. She'll have to go to beat Zarek the Brave, though. I wasn't sure what he was going to Ferry House, but he was absolutely, I thought he bolted in. We also have Risk Bell, who's a dual winner in France, in the JP McManus Colours, who goes nicely at home too, a filly by no risk at all. So I think Willie's intention is to run them all. So Nozaret was a good winner in Punchestown. Common Practice won at Galway, Comfort Zone won at Navan last week. The surprise omission was Porlick's horse, the one in the north. It was not in here.
Cougar. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, producer Mark.
Cougar's not in. But look, Lossy Mouth is doing everything right at home, but Zarek the Brave has done it on the track.
Yeah, okay. So of those, that possibly be the one for Willie. Had you had a look at this one, Rory?
I did, yeah, but asking me to give my opinion on Juvenile Hurdles, where two of the most interesting ones haven't been seen on domestic shores, you might as well ask Davy Russell really about Juvenile Hurdlers as asked me on this.
He loves them.
He loves them. Yeah, little flat rats.
That tiger all never win anything.
There's plenty of talk about Lossy Mouth and her French form. Looks the best on offer, but it's very, very hard to translate spring French form because a lot of horses will improve enormously from what is from the show in the spring for a summer break. And obviously the French season, you know, you go spring and then you have a break until the autumn, back at Otoya again. And a lot of them will show really good form in end of March, start of April, and then won't really improve an awful lot. And some of them will improve absolute chunks. So Lossy Mouth did enough, and the filly that was third behind her was a lot closer to Risk Bell when she finished second in a Risk Bell's race the following month. So on a line through that, Lossy Mouth is just about the pick here, but I couldn't be punting on the basis of dubious French form lines from March and April.
That's fine. We'll keep an eye out for it. It's a very interesting race. Yes, exactly. Keep a very, very close eye out for it. Thank you, producer Mark, who... I don't know if you've seen all those videos on Paddy Power Twitter feed, Rory, where the lads are just seemingly in this gaff drinking and posting videos.
Yes, I've seen I've seen some of those.
Yeah.
Some of them are very good.
Apparently that's a job. We move on to, I was actually going to see if anyone had any fancies for the Porterstown Handicap Chase. Ruby, did you have a look at that? We move on to the
I did. Robot. I thought Darren's Hope was the interesting one. Is she running again?
The trainer on, it was a brilliant interview, wasn't it? Was it RTÉ or Racing TV? I can't remember where I watched it. Did indicate that they would possibly run, didn't they?
She did, but look, he indicated it, but sure.
Yeah, until it happens. But Darren's Hope possibly want to watch out for it. The Royal Bond.
Hold on a second here. Whoa, maybe I looked at the Porterstown as well.
Sorry.
Gosh, you're committed.
I thought the Dabbler was a cracking each way bet in this race. He doesn't have a great win record, but the ground is very much... he handles all ground really, but his wins have come on good ground over fences. But the Dabbler was second in this last year, and comes back here having run really well over hurdles. Now he's not as good over hurdles, but he was third in a handicap at Navan on his reappearance 3 weeks ago to set him up for this. He is on a very competitive mark based on the form he was showing last season. He was placed over even further at Punchestown in April off this mark, and I think he definitely gets placed. He does tend to find one or two to beat him, but I think he's going to be a cracking each way bet. I don't know what price he is with you.
Well, I don't think we don't have prices yet. So,
right, well, there you go. This is the worst time to be getting prices, isn't it?
But he will be a cracking each way bet for Liam Cusack, who trained a winner bred by my uncle. Shout out to Andrew Tiro, who bred a winner, Bowlone Honey, the other day. So Liam Cusack, friends of that family. They're for ours. Right, the 125 is the Royal Bond. We do have anti-post prices. I'm going to call these out. But by the way, by the time you listen to this, we could be in the day of the race market. Champ Kylie's been the money horse, suggesting that he's running. He's 4-5 from 6-4. Marine Nationale definitely is running. Barry Connolly heard him earlier on the Nick Luck podcast, is 11-8. In the Pocket's been backed. Irish Point has been very weak, suggesting perhaps not. Pat Drew, also very weak, as has Hercule de Soy, also very weak. So Champ Kylie, Marine Nationale in the Pocket, they're the ones who've been backed, Ruby. Champ Kylie, looking forward to this one.
Yeah, he's been very good. 2.5 mile winner at Galway, 2 mile winner at Tipperary. Look, Marine Nationale has done nothing wrong either. But the man driving Duvan is where he got his reputation for beating him at Punchestown. He looks a flop. So he does. Thought In the Pocket was quite good at, not Marine Nationale, In the Van, In the Pocket was good at Wexford. Irish Point, I wonder, Irish Point, Pat Daru, Hurkin, sorry, are they drifting purely because there's money for some of the others? I can't speak for Gavin Cromwell or Gordon Elliott, but as far as I know, Hurkin, sorry, runs, so does Ashra Diamond and Paula Lounge this morning. Willie was running everything, so we were thinking maybe Ashra Diamond should wait for Turles, but Willie was having none of it. He was running them all. So plenty of pace in here. I think that'll suit Champ Kylie. And I like him.
Yeah. You should get a meme going for those. And this is really niche. Anyone's watched that show Yellowstone, Kevin Costner's character, we're gonna kill them all. Just with Willie Mullins, we're going to run them all. We're going to run them all. Rory.
I hate to be dull here, but I loved Champ Kylie when I saw him win gnarly in a Limerick bumper last season. And I did mention him in the Anti-Post podcast for Cheltenham. If I didn't expect he would continue in bumpers, but I thought he was a horse to keep on side. His form is working out pretty well. He looks a really, really good prospect. And I've stuck him in my tent to follow. So I hope he does the business.
Happy days. The Drimmore Novice Chase, always a really good event. Three Stripe Light is one of the horses for money. That's 6-4 and 5-2. We're recording again on Thursday before the decks. 5-2 Mighty Potter's been solid. 11-4 Banbridge. You've got 11-2 Adamantly Chosen. That's coming for a little bit of Sport Hollow Games. Then 6-1 as is the Devil's Coachman. And then 8-1 Bar. All right, Rory, thoughts on the Drimmore?
Love Banbridge. And I think he's the one to beat here. Assuming he's turning up, it's been just over 3 weeks since his win in the Oracle Trial at Cheltenham. The return to 2.5 miles would suit him down to the ground, and he's just a really, really likable jumper of fences. He was a decent hurdler, as he showed when winning a good handicap at the Cheltenham Festival. He's clearly going to be a better chaser, and I think this is his trip. This is a strong looking race on paper. It's a stronger race than it was last year, but I just think his form thus far is very solid, and he sets the standard. And I think they've all got him to beat.
Lovely. Ruby?
I agree. I thought he was really good at Cheltenham. I think the extra distance, if anything, will help him. Willie has plenty in here. I was impressed with Summer Garden's first time up. I'm impressed by Three Stripe Life and impressed by Hollow Games. Less impressed by Mighty Potter. But I would think the best of Willie's is Gaillard de Menil. Myself.
Forgotten out to win, though. When was the last? Was it 4 or 5 starts ago? It's just circumstances.
Second season.
But yeah, his experience will stand him in very good stead, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, he could say he's forgotten out to win. So he's been beaten by Capodanno, great one winner, beaten by Bob Ollinger, beaten by Gallop and the Champ, beaten by Lomprese, and third in the Irish National. Has he forgotten how to win or just ran into Harstore probably better than him?
Results game, Ruby. You always tell me that.
Yeah.
He's a results game. I mean, not
sometimes
winning.
You have to look at the obvious.
All right, so keep an eye out for those two. Probably going to be a short conversation. The Hatton's Grace at the time recording. Honeysuckle's 1-3. But an interesting entry in Classical Dream for Willie Mullins. Echoes in Rain, who got close-ish to Honeysuckle, a bunch of 10, 8-1. Tiapu 12s, as is Ashdale Bod. And there's been bits and bobs for Darver Star each way, 25s into 16s. I'll go straight to you, Rory, because I like you. I like your betting angles into races like this. Will there be one?
No, it's not an easy one to find an angle into. I'd be interested to hear what Ruby says. Honeysuckle, listen, if you're going to back her at short odds, I think she'll give you a bit of a fright here before winning, if she does win, because she wasn't massively impressive in this a couple of years ago, and her recent performances she's been winning champion hurdles, for crying out loud. You can't knock her too much, but she's not absolutely knocked your eye out. She doesn't win hard on the bridle. So I think she's going to look a little vulnerable at some stage in this race. Echoes and Rain has improved again on the flat since we last saw her over hurdles. I could see her improving her form in this sphere and going reasonably close. I don't know what's happened to Tiapu since he ran out an impressive winner off the Red Mills trial, if it still is a Red Mills trial. He's rather disappeared, but he looked impressive that day, and he could go well if repeating that form. I think those who've been around for a bit longer are harder to fancy. In my view, again, Darver Star will probably run a solid race. This is his trip, and he's clearly a much better horse over hurdles than he is over fences. But I think you've probably missed a beat with Darver Star if you haven't been with him in one or two of his recent starts, because he was written off, and then he's come back to his best hurdles form. But his best hurdles form isn't good enough to win this. It's good enough maybe to hit the frame. So yeah, Tiapu and Echoes and Rain are the pair who might be able to get her off the bridle here. But it's difficult to know whether Tiapu is going to show the form that he did at Goran. I think Echoes and Rain is probably the biggest danger, and she will travel like the wrath of God in this race, won't she? So she's the one who might look like she's going to cause a shock. But I suspect Honeysuckle will get it done in the end.
Yeah. Ruby, Echoes and Rain does seem to have learned how to race. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah, it probably is the right phrase. Yeah, but is she good enough to be Honeysuckle? No, I don't think she is.
It's Classical Dream.
I don't think he is either. The handicapper thinks he's £2 behind her, and he has to give her 7. So, theory, the handicapper thinks he's £9 out. So, I do think she will win. I hope she wins. I do think she will win. And look, will I fall off the stand if Classical Dream beats her? He's a supreme winner. He's won a stairs, two stairs hurdles at Punchestown. He's a very good horse in his own right. He is in great form, but I just think she's a bit different to what's in training in Ireland.
I hope. We need this clash. We want this clash between herself and Constitution Hill. So hopefully flawless seasons until it happens. Will the daughters be glued to the television watching Rachel and Honeysuckle, Ruby?
I'd say there's a chance they'll be there.
Sunday dinner could be very tricky if she doesn't do the business.
Sunday dinner, I'd say they'll be in Farriers.
Well, afterwards.
They'll want McDonald's then.
All right, fair enough. How were they after Aplutar's disappointment? Are they okay?
Just about.
Yeah, I'd say that was an L blow to the solar plexus. Ruby's kids are massive.
They wanted to go to Punchestown to have a chat with Henry, see what he was doing.
Oh, God, could you imagine that? The Walsh daughter's after you en masse.
I'm telling you, he's lucky I didn't ring them.
Ruby, you work on RT this weekend, Racing TV?
RT this weekend, Sunday.
Ah, happy days, lovely stuff. Rory, feet up, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes well tomorrow, and then it's nice at least.
It'll be a quiet weekend. I'm having my next-door neighbour around on Saturday to watch the racing with me, because I meant to have someone looking after me for 48 hours. And the wife has said, well, it won't be me. So
the hired help. All right. So this person knows his or her race.
Rory, whoa, PK. The bumper horse on Sunday.
Oh, what? Yes.
Chapeau de Solil.
And?
That'll win.
That's what I was waiting for. Chapeau de Solil in the bumper at Farriers on Sunday. I like it when he just tells me one of that. Now, hopefully it's a prize.
It doesn't matter. It probably won't be. Put it in with Honeysuckle.
Okay, put it in with Honeysuckle. Nice little double. Rory, does this neighbour know racing?
He does. He's very, very enthusiastic. He's enthusiastic about everything. It's great to see such enthusiasm in a man of 73 years old.
Okay.
He spent his life in the theatre, so he's slightly theatrical. He's a wonderful fella, is Charlie Madge. So I will very much enjoy watching the racing with him.
Well, he's gonna be listening to a lot of chat about racing anyway.
I know he loves that. Loves all that.
Do you know those colours? They, now, in 1973, in the Schweppes hurdle, where beat the Benson Hedges winner of... Okay, right. You get my point. Well, lads, look, have great weekends. Best of luck tomorrow, Rory. Ruby, best of luck at the weekend. Fingers crossed. Honeysuckle does the business. We'll be back next weekend. We got Cheltenham meeting at the international meeting. So, and Fridays with Fran, as always. If you haven't listened to Fridays with Fran by now, have a listen ahead of the weekend. And don't forget, Paddy's Pick 5, 50 grand in the pot. Talk to you next week, folks.